highly private learners are interested in a safe space, in jotting down private ideas and reflections for themselves. They wish to have their own private space, and they don't want these thoughts to be shared with others, unless they themselves initiate the invitation for others to come in and observe. In this case of edublogging, assessment for such a learning space would have to be optional for the learner. It would likely take the form of learner self-assessment and self-reflections on readings, critiques, dialogues with oneself, creative work, personal writing, and again, an opportunity perhaps for learners to invite the instructor and other participants to observe and perhaps comment. But that's the next stage. What happens is that the sanctuary opens up towards a metaphor of a homestead. And in this situation, the autonomous blogger is an individualistic blogger who blogs in the open but does not really worry about the privacy concerns. They don't consider their larger audience insofar as, you know, oh, I don't want to say the wrong thing. They're saying it more like, oh, well, this is who I am, this is what I think. They don't get demotivated by a lack of peer or instructor feedback. They don't worry about not only not getting feedback, but they don't worry about getting feedback. They, in fact, welcome it and enjoy commenting and interacting with others. So consider the homestead for autonomous or independent bloggers as a metaphor for which they are interested in building the foundations of their virtual space, of their virtual home. They write drafts, they collect resources, they share resources, they comment on readings and on other ideas, whatever comes to mind, events, experiences, reflections. And in this case, they would be better perhaps assessed through a series of task checklists, rubrics, and so the focus would be on self-paced, individualized, self-directed activity. I mention this as important because they are interested in self-directed learning and they're cooperative with others, whereas in the case of the private bloggers, they're just very interested in working within their own limited space. Now, the sharing space is for what I call embedded bloggers. And the embedded blogger are those who are energized by comments from others. They're motivated by others, by social interaction. They rely on co-presence, and they enjoy instructor feedback and feedback from others. And this is a very different type of learner than those interested in having a sanctuary or those who are autonomous. And in the case of a private blogger, they would not want to have comments from others. They would feel as if it's an invasion of their privacy. They would not really enjoy having this need to interact with others and comment on others' posts and comment or receive feedback from instructors. To them, it would seem intrusive, annoying, irritating. You have very different needs in the case of a private blogger and what I call an embedded blogger. Now, the other important thing to mention with an embedded blogger is that they become demotivated with an absence of comments from others, an absence of feedback. And this is critically important because many people comment either as reluctant bloggers, oh, I don't want to blog for the audience, and then there are others who wish to blog for an audience and feel demotivated when they're in a mixed group. So it's really, really important to recognize this and to try and take steps to address it. For me, I think that the sharing space for social or embedded bloggers, I would think that assessment would have to take the form of peer assessment, peer feedback. Feedback forms, teaching them how to work with one another, how to provide constructive feedback, how to respond to constructive feedback, and so on, combined with a combination of self-assessments, instructor comments, and rubrics. For those who need time to practice, to try things out, to rehearse things, I would consider those individuals the anonymous bloggers. And the stage is, in fact, the metaphor I would use here. Anonymous blogging is recommended for those learners to allow them a more private. They would allow them to come into contact with more social bloggers. It would level the playing field so that everyone can participate in a non-threatening, impersonal, confidential, anonymous learning space. They can act out roles upon a virtual stage. And so certain learning activities suitable in such a situation would be meme creation and sharing, propagation, path making, berry picking, sharing of resources, of ideas, of experiences, of intuitions from their own content after revisiting it after a few years. I call that digital footprinting. Time capsules is a very similar idea, in which learners talk to themselves in the future and then look back over the last semester. What would they talk to each other? Imagine you are a self currently and a self in the future, and you play on that, and you role play, and you anticipate, and you imagine, and you write as a group. And so all of the ordinary barriers to participation in terms of our own self, our own sense of self and investment in self, all these defenses, there would be no need to have to worry about them. So the anonymity provides an opportunity for these learners to develop their skills in interacting with others. So assessment would have to take the form of a series of self-assessments. I would think that learners can post their own reflections and impressions of the learning process in their own edublogs while progressing through the activities of the anonymous edublogging. Then it's what I call open range, and the open range is a networked blogging environment. And these are for more experienced autonomous bloggers, those who've had a blog for at least 1 to 2 years, perhaps longer, in most cases longer. The edubloggers in these cases would be interested in learning how to develop their skills within a network of practice and moving between networks of practices. So I'm interested in an open range in the sense that such edubloggers would combine skills developed during their time as private, autonomous, anonymous, and embedded blogging, along with the development of additional skills and knowledge to participate in blogging for individualized networking. So I'm interested in the sense that there's cooperation and there's collaboration. Cooperation would be more for the autonomous blogger. They go ahead and they do their own thing, and they're interested in working with each other. They're not restricting it, but at the same time, they're interested in working on their own thing. The collaborative blogger, on the other hand, would be the embedded blogger. And the embedded blogger would require, they would need to work with each other towards a common goal. Very different perspective. And we really do have to emphasize that these learners need to be able to be equally adept at working as cooperative and collaborative and as private bloggers. They need to be able to do these different things effectively. They need to be able to participate in an anonymous kind of setting and open up their own private thoughts to others. In the case of the open range, these learners would need to be able to participate within a community in which they're sharing ideas with each other in a larger sense, in a community of academic discourse. Handling critical comments, trolls, flaming, they need to be careful with all that, both the negative and the positive. They need to be able to develop the skills and knowledge, the attitudes, because Habermas talked about four different types of learning. There was the instrumental learning, the communicative learning, the emancipatory learning, and the impressionistic learning. And when you take it from that perspective, the impressionistic learning would be for those individuals who are interested in working within the stage, working within performance. The instrumental blogger would be interested in skills and knowledge. The communicative blogger would be probably interested in interacting within a community. And there's a certain overlap in the sense that communicative blogging is both embedded as well as networked. And then we have the emancipatory. And for that, I'm interested in transformative bloggers. The upward-outward spiral is the metaphor I would use in that case. Now, I want to come back to the open range, though, for a moment, and that is, these particular bloggers would need to be very confident. I would like to emphasize that active participation in the open range of global edublogging in these type of circles would entail a very strong confidence with keeping current on trends, keeping up to date on new ideas and resources, sharing ideas with authors, commenting and linking one's own ideas to others, embedding other ideas into one's own edublog, cultivating a number of other peers as a learning cohort or network. For those edubloggers interested in this, and within an assessment format, I would have to insist that it would be in the format of an e-portfolio. There would have to be negotiated learning outcomes with peer reviews and ongoing interviews and with mentors and sponsors. And this is really important, that this open range is more of a grad school kind of format. For this type of level, they would need to be rather experienced bloggers. For the transformative bloggers, I mentioned liminal. Liminal is an opportunity for learners, for edubloggers, to move through the thresholds and through the spheres rather easily. They seek out change, and they move, and they change, and they evolve, and they develop. It depends on how you want to perceive it. I would say that the transformative edublog blurs the boundaries between the other categories. The edublogger deepens their learning. For them, it involves a personal journey of constant change. They embrace the change. It can be highly private, it can be highly public. It's considered a vision, a journey. Someone mentioned an outward spiral of self-reflection, reflections on learning, on processes, on assumptions. It can have a therapeutic, cathartic quality. It can be slow, lengthy process. I mentioned Barbara Ganley's slow blogging. And so the transformative edublog has tremendous potential for literacy learners as well, working through feelings and attitudes towards learning. It has to do with requiring a shift of perspective, a reexamination of deeply held values, a lowering of personal barriers, a changing, an openness to dialogue with others, a chance to give voice to what has been long silenced. And I have to mention that this is the case with all individuals. This chance to give voice to what has up till now been long silenced or suppressed. Some of these experiences that we give voice to in the transformative or personal blogging will involve life-altering transition. Others will require a gradual shift in viewpoint. Either way, reflecting on what needs to be unlearned in order to learn something new is a part of this transformative process. I'm not talking from a religious sense. There is a spiritual element to it, most undoubtedly. It involves a process of discernment, of grieving even. It may also involve a lot of resistance on the part of educators, because the edublog of this kind might not be arguably something that most educators would want to get involved with. They may not be comfortable with this type of soul work. This whole process of soul work or self work is an emerging kind of edublogging. It moves learners as well as educators out of comfortable spaces into a holding space, into a transitional space. It moves them through it. And this liminality, this process, allows them to rehearse in safety, allows them to feel more comfortable moving between the different spheres. And so this is what I mean by the transformative learning cycle.